Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, Millionaire Mindcast fam? Welcome into today's episode. I got a great guest for you guys today. If you're someone that has been looking to build wealth or actively been building wealth through real estate, you know this name. He is one of the most infamous. I don't think he's infamous, but a lot of people love to hate on him. He is none other than the clever investor, Mr. Cody Sperber. This is somebody that I have looked up to and followed and learned from and modeled after in many facets of my own real estate journey and my own business journey. And it was great to have him on the show today, dropping a lot of the pearls of wisdom that he's learned over his journey as an entrepreneur, as a real estate investor. And he dropped some really exciting stuff in terms of, he's always somebody that I've seen be one or two steps ahead of everyone else. And you're going to get some of those little tidbits and clues as to where things are moving next and how you can capitalize on them as well in this interview. But before we jump in today, if you are new to the podcast, welcome. Thanks for stopping by. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe. Be sure to hit that like button. It helps the channel out tremendously. If you're not on YouTube and you're listening to this in your car or on a walk, don't forget to subscribe on all podcasting platforms. And if you get any value from today's episode, all I ask is that you leave a review in iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud or wherever you're listening to this on. It helps us continue to spread this amazing content to help more entrepreneurs with free, valuable information on their wealth building journey. So that way you can actually take the nuggets and the wisdom, shorten your learning curve, apply these things, avoid the big mistakes, and get where you want to go in a whole lot faster and more efficient timeline. So with that being said, know that we have all kinds of tools, freebies, resources, and downloads available for you guys. Those are going to be in the show description or in the show notes. If you're listening to this, check out millionairemindcast.com or the YouTube channel to grab all of those. But if you want to take advantage of my free real estate investing course, all you have to do is text the word invest to 844-447-1555 for all of my high net worth accredited investors who want more access to deal flow. We did the apartment buildings, the laundromats. We got a potential hotel deal, some more exciting opportunities for you guys on these passive investment opportunities. You can text the word deals to get on that list, 844-447-1555, text deals. If you want to know more about working with me one-on-one, of course, you can text the word mentor to that same phone number. And with that being said, I want to know what you guys think of Mr. Clever Investor himself. You know who he is. What are your thoughts on him? Have you taken some of his training or his programs? Drop those down in the comment section or text me at 844-447-1555. With that being said, we talked about a lot of exciting stuff here today. We talked in terms of the one thing that really stood out to me was artificial intelligence and how that is getting tied into lead generation, finding opportunities, predicting what people may do or where they may go and how you can potentially put yourself in that path to create opportunities for buying, helping them sell, right? And ultimately making great wealth building progress through artificial intelligence by identifying those key opportunities. He shared and shed some light on that in today's interview. We talked about the two most important social platforms to build a brand, to give people a window into who you are. He shared his three specific tips on social, on building a brand that has helped him amass millions of followers across all different kinds of platforms. We talked about some of the most creative investing strategies that you're going to see become very popular here. And you'll be interested to hear his take on wholesaling and flipping and what that looks like in the upcoming market cycle and some of the other strategies that you may want to consider as well. So all around, a really cool interview with Cody Sperber. We talked about his personal life, his wife, his kids, some of the things that he struggles with, and also some of the things that he's learned in terms of balance and building that millionaire lifestyle and approach, not just in his business, but to all aspects of his life, which you know this channel is all about, the podcast is all about. Yes, we want you to be a millionaire in your bank account, But we also want you to be a millionaire in other areas of your life as well, because that's ultimately what's going to unlock the most rich, fulfilling, enjoyable, and impactful life for you and everybody that you care about. So with that being said, we got a great show for you guys today. Don't forget to check out all of the other free resources, all of the links in the show notes, in the show description down below. And without further ado, let's dig in with my man, Mr. Clever Investor, Cody Sperber, right after this quick message from today's show sponsor.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor. Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process. And in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
I'm excited to welcome into the show today the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Clever Investor, Cody Sperber. How are we doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Dude, there's not many times that I find people that have a way more gangster background than I do, and you're crushing me right now with that one.
You mean gangster as in like selling drugs out of the Burger King drive-thru window in high school gangster? Like, I want to make sure I know what you're talking about
here. Yeah, we might have two different definitions of gangster. But in terms of being a real estate gangster, a wealth builder, not just somebody who has built a massive brand. If you are someone that, you know, invests in real estate and has been in any social platform or environment over the last 10 years, you've seen this man's face, you've seen his ads, you've seen checks that he's posted. And you catch a lot of flack, dude. And I think it's because you put so much content and you're out there and you don't care because you also know what kind of value and how it can transform people's lives. So that's one reason why I've always been a fan. We got to connect, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago at Matt Andrews' event. And you are humble. You add value wherever you go. But not only do you teach people how to build wealth in real estate, you live wealthy in other areas of your life, which I know we're going to talk about, of being a husband, a father, you know, your health. But dude, where did the Clever Investor brand all start for those that may not know who you are or not know the context behind the journey?
Yeah. So first off, thanks for saying all those very kind things. I'll give you a virtual hug through
right back at you
screen. My wife actually started calling me the Clever Investor back before I was really even doing much. And other people around town would always say, man, you're so clever in your marketing. You're so creative on how you're approaching, you know, deal structuring and stuff like that. So it just kind of was given to me and it stuck. And then I thought, you know what, that's a great name. Like it's catchy. I've always been like really a big nerd about marketing and branding and especially direct response marketing, being a creative residential real estate investor, which is my background. You have to be creative in just about everything that you do to get noticed. Right. The average person sees 5,000 marketing messages every single day, and it might be 15,000. I don't even know what it is now, but how do you stand out in the crowd? And also, I always found that like if I just walked up to somebody and said, hey, I'm Cody, here's my business card, let's network, they would forget me 3 seconds into the conversation. But if I had like a catchy hook, you know, maybe let's say I was a really big guy. Hey, I'm Big Cody from Arizona. And if I just repeat that over and over and over, next thing you know, they remember Big Cody from Arizona. So I was Cody Sperber, the Clever Investor. And so it caught on. But anyway, my My background, actually, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a ninth grade history teacher or a marine biologist. So real estate wasn't even on the radar. My parents, amazing human beings. They did not, I'm the first Sperber ever to graduate college. I'm also the first Sperber to become a millionaire. So in my family, so we didn't come from money, and my parents are very hardworking individuals. So my dad was the most successful person around me. So he was my idol and I wanted to be like him. And so anyway, high school, I was always a really little guy, very sharp witted. So I got bullied and picked on a lot and always got myself in trouble and fights. And I hung around people that I probably shouldn't be hanging around. And so I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I decided to follow in my father's footsteps and join the Navy. So instead of going to college, which I dreaded, I went to the Navy, which was an amazing experience. Got to travel the world and learn systems and structure and all that stuff. So when I got out of the Navy, they give you this thing called an MGI bill. They pay for your college. And so I was in college and I was hanging out with a friend named Jeremy. He asked me to go to lunch and he pulled up in a brand new Mercedes. And I said, dude, how did you get the car? This is amazing. Like a month ago, you had no money. Like, where did that all come from? And he goes, I flipped a house and I made $80,000. And I thought that was mind bending. I couldn't believe it, that this was actually happening to a guy who had no money. And then all of a sudden now he has 80 grand. And so, my marine biology days went out the window because I got seasick in the Navy. And, I went and talked to the history professor at the college and said, how much do you make? And he laughed out loud and said, I have to have a second job to survive. And so I'm thinking, man, this real estate thing, this might be the path. Like, wow, I better look into this. And you got to go back 16 years. There was no YouTube University. There was no awesome podcast like this. So I learned through finding where gurus were traveling around the country and putting on seminars and workshops. And I would fly to the workshop and you buy a ticket, buy a plane, get a hotel, and you go through this experience. And then they'd sell you everything from the stage. And I was a sucker. I wanted to learn so bad. And there just wasn't a lot of good information out there. So I bought every book and course and tape and would come home and I would try really hard to pull it all together. And it was like impossible for me. It felt like I was drinking from a fire hose. So my first 9 months, I sucked, didn't do a single deal, totally screwed everything up, got myself into a bunch of credit card debt. I was stressing out, all that energy and momentum and excitement faded away. And everybody told me I was nuts. I remember at one point, my parents sat me down and said, Cody, we think you're making a huge mistake. You know, you got this opportunity to go to college. You're not paying attention to college. Real estate is what rich people do, you know, and they gave me all the reasons why they wanted to protect me from wasting any more time or energy on this dream. Right. And so just imagine 9 months. Some people listening to this, you might be newer. You're 3 feet from gold. Do not give up. Like, you got to stay the course, because 9 months, no deal, finally quit, threw in the towel. And I went out and put out resumes. I got a job as a bookkeeper because it was the only thing that was hiring. I saw this ad in the college like billboard system that they were hiring a bookkeeper. So I lied on my resume. I pretended I knew how to do bookkeeping. The guy hired me on the spot because he was desperate for a bookkeeper. I went to the bookstore and bought a Bookkeeping for Dummies book and read it that night so I can show up the next day and pretend I knew what I was doing. And so, yeah, I quit. And then 3 months later, I was miserable. I hated bookkeeping. I hated where my life was going. I was trying to be okay with just going to college and trying to unbury myself from the debt, but I was miserable. And people listening to this that quit on their dreams, they know what I'm talking about. It feels like a heavy weight is on your chest. I couldn't breathe and it just sucked. And fortunately, a good friend of mine named Zach asked me to go to a seminar. And at first I fought it and I said, no way, I'm not going to another stupid seminar. He said, this is different. And I said, I've heard that before. And we went back and forth. And finally, my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, jumped in and said, look, I'm so sick and tired of you being a whiny baby and complaining about your bookkeeping job. Just get back in and go with Zach and try again and do it. And I reluctantly went. And when I went into that seminar, it was a guy named Jack Miller, who has now passed away. And Jack was up at the podium and he was telling war stories about doing deals. And I remember looking around the room thinking, oh my gosh, I felt it. Like, you know that where your arm hairs stand up and like, you just get that adrenaline rush. You're just like, oh my God, I'm here. Like, maybe this is what all that struggle, all that challenge, all those hurdles and self-limiting beliefs and that internal talk that was just beating me up. Maybe it was all to get me to this moment where I appreciated that I'm here. And I knew it. I don't know why. I just knew it. It was destiny. And so at that lunch break, I went to the bar to order some food. There's this old timer sitting there. I start talking to the guy. He was quirky and funny and fast, and he was super successful in real estate. And I said, dude, I don't know why I'm here right now, but I just feel like I'm supposed to be. And he goes, you're supposed to meet me. And I said, oh, okay, cool. Well, that's what it feels like. So, you know, what's your name? He said, my name's Lyle. Well, Lyle happened to have a winter home. He lives in Colorado. He happened to have a winter home in Arizona, which is where I'm from. And so I said, hey, I need a mentor. I tried it on my own for 9 months. I cannot pull it off. I quit the business. I struggled. I almost got to some deals, but it was like Swiss cheese, all those courses that just giant holes in missing information. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't pull it together. And he goes, dude, I got you. And he did. He taught me things you can't learn in books. He helped me pull it all together. He got me super laser focused on one or two needle moving activities at a time instead of 400 strategies.
Yeah.
And I got my first big deal about a month and a half later, and it changed my life. I got my $40,000 deal, you know, and that was the game changer, because all that hope turned to like real internal belief. Like, I knew I could do this again and again. And so that money, I quit my job as the bookkeeper that day. I helped my parents out. I don't know about you, but nothing feels greater in this world than being able to give back to people that took care of you. And so I was able to do that. And it was at the perfect timing because my parents were having a hard time. And then I got my girlfriend an engagement ring, and I said, thank you for keeping me on track. And I knew I was marrying way out of my league, so I needed to lock her up. And yeah, I mean, that was the beginning. And then I went off and I focused on wholesaling for my first year and a half. And I wholesaled ton, like I ramped way up. I became a millionaire by 28, multimillionaire by age 30, wholesaling real estate. I still wasn't rehabbing. I wasn't really buying rentals. I was just wholesaling and making quick cash. And that was cool until I sold a couple deals where I made 10 or 15 grand, and then the rehabber made 110. And I said, okay, I'm on the wrong side of the equation here. I mean, I'd have to do 10, 15 wholesale deals to make the same amount that guy just made. So finally, I got the courage to start keeping some of them and renovating them, and screwed that all up for the first few months. In fact, pulled that together. And then Lyle would yell at me every single day and say, you're not wealth building. You're not doing the right thing. You're not keeping some of these. You're not getting out in front of your taxes. You're giving half your money to Uncle Sam. And I kept saying to him, well, why would I do anything different? This doesn't make, I'm a millionaire. Like, I'm rich. Like, I have money. Like, what does it matter about that? I'm just going to keep printing money. Like, I have the secret it factor to print money. And he said, just trust me, one day you're going to get tired of being an old wholesaler. You're going to get tired of wanting to do this active real estate thing, and you're going to waste years not building wealth, and you're going to regret it. And sure enough, about my third year in, I got a tax bill for about $650,000 at the end of the year, because I wasn't doing my taxes correctly. And I was mortified. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to pay all this money in taxes. I have to wholesale so many more houses. And that was when I finally started keeping some and really leaning in on the creative real estate, seller participation strategies, wraparound mortgages, exact wraps, all-inclusive contract for deeds, you know, raising other people's money and getting leverage so I can buy more real estate and those kind of, all the stuff that you talk about all the time, you know?
Well, it's one of those things. You talked about a lot of great things that I think a lot of new investors, for those that are new listening right now and want to build that wealth, you're looking at somebody that has done thousands of deals, as well as helped others, thousands of people do their first deal or get on their path. And you ultimately threw in the towel, right? You kind of quit that first go around. And if you didn't have somebody kind of breathe that confidence back into you or help you get back on that path or follow those breadcrumbs, we may not be standing here talking today. I know my first, it took me 10 months to find my first deal. I thought about quitting, I think, 6 times in that first year. I worked for somebody else for free, but it was also being on that path, getting my teeth kicked in time and time again. that as you overcome those fears and those hurdles, they kind of turn into confidence. Then that led me to my first deal, which I ended up netting about $106,000 on, and it completely changed the course of my life, right? And so I want to just remind those people that are thinking that they can't do this themselves. Cody has taught so many people free education. And then I know for your higher, more committed, people that are looking to scale their businesses and really go to that seven-figure mark and beyond, you teach some of these more creative strategies. You know, what do you say to that person that is maybe in that first hunt for the deal, their first deal, or maybe somebody that's looking to scale to that next level that you see really preventing a lot of them from turning this into, from a hobby into more of like a real wealth building vehicle, not just being rich, but generating real wealth?
Yeah, a couple things. First off, that beginning part of acquiring the knowledge and increasing your skills and capabilities, that takes time. You know, you got to build the scaffolding, you got to learn the language of real estate. You got to learn the psychology of dealing with people. It's a people business. So it takes some time to screw some stuff up. You got to screw up phone calls, got to get hung up on. You got to get told no a million times. You got to get pushed around. You got to get, you know, almost get into a deal and then have it fall apart at the last minute and get really angry and then go to sleep swirling around here. What did I do wrong? Why did I screw that up? You got to go through all of that to gain that internal strength. And a lot of times you can fast track that by getting near people that are playing the game at a higher level like you. You got proximity, and proximity is power, right? You got to get proximity to people so you can go from A to B at the fastest rate possible. And so that is part of it. The other part of it is three things. One, you got to have marketing stamina. Most people do not have marketing stamina. There's a lot of things people can say about Cody Sperber. One of them is not that guy is weak on marketing. Like, I am a beast when it comes to marketing, and not to toot my own horn. I just have stamina. I have screwed so much up. I spent so much money. I put out so many mail campaigns and so many different things that just did not work. I learn from those experiences. I test, I tweak, I change headlines, I change colors, I change positions and angles, and eventually things start to work. And you cannot tell me that marketing doesn't work, that direct mail doesn't work, that pay-per-click doesn't work. It might not have worked your first time or if you only dabbled in it, but planes fly and you cannot convince me that they don't. I know that this stuff works. I've spent so much money and got it to work. And a lot of this stuff is like a hockey stick. It's not an immediate result. It's like an exponential result. And what I mean by that is you got to think about, going back to what I said, people getting 5,000 marketing messages every single day or more. How do you stand out in the crowd? How do they remember you? How do they think of you when that moment comes where they get motivated? Well, you got to touch them many, many times, and nowadays on many different platforms. So you got to be really omnipresent in their life. And the days of just straight line marketing isn't as effective as it used to be.
Yep.
And so marketing stamina, that's number one. Number two and number three go hand in hand, and this has to do with rapport building. Stop trying to be something you're not. Be authentic. Authentic people attract results. Authentic people attract good relationships. Authentic people build rapport. I see all these young kids trying to be successful before they're successful, trying to act like they're rich before they're rich, trying to say all the perfect things and look the perfect way. And I'm telling you, you'll get way further wearing shorts, flip-flops, and a polo, or whatever, or your t-shirt, and just being authentically you than wearing a suit or trying to be something you're not and acting like you got money. People will respect you more, and they'll listen to you more, and they'll connect with you more. So authentic, being authentic is number one, and then being enthusiastic is number two. There's so many boring adults out there. So many people just blah, 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 playing the game very safe, right? If this goes along with the marketing, get that enthusiasm up, get that consistency up, be louder than everybody else, be more excited than everybody else. And what happens is when you pop your head above the boring crowd, other people that are interested in doing things and doing business and going places, they're going to look at you and go, wow, that person is consistently enthusiastic. I want to be around that. You might talk a little smack at first because it's weird and we're not used to it, but you're going to gravitate towards it, and you're going to create a little community of people. So I'm enthusiastic with my real estate agents I work with the other wholesalers in town I work with the vendors I work with. They all love doing business with me because I'm crazy and they like a little crazy. And so that would be my advice to somebody new, because without that, you're gonna struggle a lot more, especially as we move into an environment where people are bombarded with social media and blinking lights and distractions on a daily basis.
Yeah, great points there in terms of, I love the authenticity piece because people just want to connect with other people they feel like they feel aligned with, whether it's core values, whether it's, hey, I trust this person, I like what they stand for, what they don't stand for. And it feels like in the marketing world, right, people have almost gotten to this point where they don't trust almost the marketing message that they're hearing. So if you can be authentic, so important for building that rapport, closing those gaps, and obviously that leads to more conversion. You said enthusiastic. And that's one thing I've always noticed about your marketing message is your energy. And I think this is a superpower that really everybody has that they don't realize they have control over. You can bring energy into any environment, any conversation, any marketing piece that you want. But it's up to you to obviously show up in that way with that energy. So energy management, I think, is a big piece. Curious in terms of marketing stamina, you talked about that attention to detail and just really that repetition. Repetition being the mother of all success, creating more awareness around what's working, what's not working, tweaking, optimizing, pivoting. What have been some of your best marketing channels that others might explore a little bit more or know that they can come to you for that expertise, knowing that you've got massive conversion on really every platform out there, but what are some of your favorites?
Yeah, so the thing with marketing is it comes in waves, meaning like there was a period in time where door knocking was the strategy, right?
Right.
And yep. You get a list of pre-foreclosures, you go knock doors and that would crush. And then then all of a sudden the auctions and things like that were the main strategy. And then it was direct mail and everybody was crushing with direct mail and the returns and the results were amazing. And then it went to cold calling and then now text message marketing. For me, I think it really is a combo unit. So like what we're doing right now that's generating the best results, a couple things. One, we're using artificial intelligence to help us get out in front of sellers that might not know that they're fully motivated yet, but they have a lot of indications based on things that are like things that they're doing or things that have happened in their past. See, what you don't understand is every single one of us, there are billions, and I mean literally billions, of data points on us. We don't know it's happening, but every time you do anything electronic, it is going into some database somewhere, and there is a history of that. And there are massive companies that get paid an insane amount of money to try to extrapolate that data and create predictive modeling and propensity and probability modeling to see where they think you're going to go and what is going to motivate you the most to buy. And so think about the real estate. This is all just happening right now. You know, really, we're taking multi-channel marketing. So like pay-per-click on YouTube, pay-per-click on Facebook and Google, direct mail marketing, cold calling, and text message marketing. And we're taking that bundle and we're saying, all right, how do we target all of our firepower on that bundle? So take Phoenix, for example. Phoenix has, you know, 4 or 5 million people in the Phoenix metro area. I can't market to 5 million people. It's too expensive.
Right.
And it would be impossible for me to do it effectively. But so how do we whittle it down? Well, back in the day, what we would do is what we would data stack, right? We would take the data of the 5 million people and we would just start grabbing motivation layers. And we would say, all right, let's take all the people that have a that own a house here but live out of state, so absentee owners, and then let's add people that have equity. So now we have absentee owner, high equity, and then we have people that the house is sitting vacant, so we have absentee owner, high equity, vacant, and then behind on payments. And so we would just take these data stacks and we would go, all right, that kind of whittles it down to now 100,000 people. Okay, well, we could, if we could afford it, just market to those 100,000 people. I like to whittle it down into like a little micro bucket and then add an AI on top of it, which is the new school way of doing it, which then takes those people and goes out into the world of data and comes back and says, hey, here's all the things happening. Like did you know that they shop at this place, this discount store? Did you know that they, have a legal challenge going on in their life? Did you know that they have some medical bills floating out there? Did you know? And all of a sudden, it creates this probability and propensity model. Probability just means what is the probability that they're going to sell at a discount, right? At any point in time. And propensity means that they're going to sell at a discount within a specific period of time, say 90 days or less. And if you can have this predictive modeling type of thing where it whittles down the 100,000 down to a bucket of 70, well, now I could go hard on that 70 and I can really put marketing messages in front of them and I can test and try and do different things. And it's very affordable.
Yeah.
And none of my competition can pinpoint like this.
So I love that, because that ultimately allows you to go from shotgun to sniper, meet them where they're at, like you said, right? Have very strategic marketing messages based on what their problem is, how you can provide that solution, close those gaps. I'm curious on your thoughts. You're always one or two steps ahead, I see, of people in the marketing world, right? When do you think AI is really going to make its way to the masses in terms of lead generation and marketing for discounted distressed real estate deals?
Next year, for sure.
Next year.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a year. I'm normally a year and a half, 2 years in front of everybody. So yeah, it's for sure next year. It's coming. I mean, we already are baking it into our software. We have a software called the Deal Automator. Some of this stuff is baked into there. I'm teaching my students. It's how we're getting a lot of deals. And that doesn't mean that the old school stuff doesn't work. I still do all the old school stuff. Like, I am an aggressive networker. I think, and you're going to build a business at a certain point. Some of my best deals come from other people just bringing me deals because they know them. Yeah. So that never stops. It's just, I'm also adding in this other element to it, which keeps me just constantly out in front of the curve. People know me for social. I would think, these social platforms, if I was to say, hey, lean in on two social platforms, number one would be branding on Instagram, right? That's the number one platform for branding, in my opinion. It's hackable. It's easy to grow an audience. It's easy to get organic followers. It's easy to post and stay consistent. I mean, if you don't have in leaning in on Instagram, you need to do that. And then for building influence is YouTube. And the way I teach my community of clever investors, I just say, look, if you want to someday be a Cody Sperber or be somebody that has a community of people around you, you got to create influence. And for every one follower you have on YouTube, it's worth 500 followers on Instagram, because a YouTube follower is a very hyper engaged, radical fan of you. You know, they go down the rabbit hole. They watch all your videos. They spend lots of time just on your channel. YouTube or Instagram is very like, float through real quick, see him for a second, like, move, like,
right.
You know, and then unfollow. So the fans or followers are different. And so if you're trying to build influence in your real estate community, go out and take videos of all the properties that you're doing, document them, talk about them, invite people into your world. Hey, if you'd ever like to learn more, give me a holler. If you want to buy my properties, get on my cash buyers list. I have a free book for you. Grab that. Now I'm building an email list. Like, there's all kinds of things you could do from YouTube, and the quality of those followers is very high. Whereas Instagram is more like my conversations I have, random thoughts, conversations, funny, Cody, personality, like more of that kind of thing. And I like it as a direct response marketer, because you have like four main ways that you can pull people off of Instagram. Once you get over 10,000 followers, you have swipe up features and you have some more things that unlock that allow you as a marketer. So like all of my guys in my real estate business, like yesterday, they came to me and said, hey, Cody, we want interns for our business. I said, I got you. I went live on my Instagram. Guys, I'm taking on interns. This is what we're doing. It's unpaid 90 days. I'm going to change your life. You're going to be in proximity, blah, blah, blah. I need a commitment. Pitch me in my DMs. I'm not kidding you. I have 1,000 DMs that my poor assistant is plowing through. Some of them are funny. You know, they're like, you're the sexiest investor I've ever been. I need access to sexiness. And, and it's like a dude, pitching me on how sexy I am. So some of them are funny, but we filled our intern spots up in one video, one live story. And I do that when I'm trying to raise capital, and do that when I'm trying to build a buyer's list. I do that when I'm trying to, you know, let people know about a new product or service that I'm offering.
Yep. And I love that, because whether you're somebody that wants to be the Cody Sperber in terms of getting into the education world and teaching others how to do it, at a bare minimum, people, like you said, in terms of authenticity, right, want to connect with other like-minded individuals that they think can help them accomplish a goal. I mean, I've got people from the podcast or from YouTube that have invested in deals with me, that have brought me deals, right? And ultimately, that's what you're saying. You got to give people a window into your world to decide whether or not they like you and want to engage with you. But if you don't do that, you don't have those call to actions. There's never going to be a bridge for somebody to walk over and for you to actually capture that type of opportunity or provide that kind of value. In terms of opportunity, you know, I know you are involved with so many high-level players across the country and world in terms of, you know, building wealth through real estate. You got the 100 Million Academy, you've got the Avengers, you've got all of your stuff in terms of the Clever Investor ecosystem. And we know that real estate wealth building opportunities come in cycles. And based on people's goals and when they want to get there, there's always going to be a market or a strategy or a vehicle that is most synergistic or aligned with those goals. So in terms of people that are going this next market cycle, the pandemic of 2020 has created a lot of distress, a lot of pressure in terms of finances and forbearances, delinquencies. We know there's going to be opportunity that is coming. Now, if it's going to be as bad as 2008, depending on what policy gets put in place or doesn't get put in place, that's all to be determined. But we know there's going to be distress in terms of supply hitting the market. So what do you see in terms of opportunity out there, and what should people, seasoned or beginner, be doing right now to position themselves to scoop that water up and not be building the well, you know, after the fact that the wave has already hit?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Matt. And I just feel like none of us have a crystal ball, and we've been historically wrong on a lot of fronts. So right. You know, take this for a grain of salt, but this is how I look at things. We were already at the end of our market cycle. So if you understand market cycles, you know, going up and down based on supply and demand, we were already at a hyper supply state.
Yep.
And coronavirus just shifted us over into more of a recession. And the only reason we didn't go into a depression is because the government injected $2 trillion into the economy.
Yep.
And they, like you said, put a foreclosure moratorium and an eviction moratorium until January or December 31st in some places, January 31st in other places. Now that Biden's most likely going to be the next president, he might extend some things. He might change some things. There might be another huge influx of cash. And I think there will be. And I think it will keep us out of a depressionary state. But if you understand supply and demand, there's 12 million renters currently not paying.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
It's very, very bad in the commercial sector. And so, and Biden's talking about doing away with 1031 exchanges. So right there, that's 15 to 20% of the commercial sector motivation going right out the window. I mean, people build generational wealth. Guys like me that start with nothing, minorities, women, people of color, like we, a lot of people that don't have access to capital use the 1031 exchange to build wealth over a lifetime,
right,
and only pay tax one time. Right. And that's the whole, but he's talking about getting rid of it. So there is a lot of changes coming down the pipeline. So depends on what type of investor you are historically. But for me, there was always an investing strategy on the way up, flat, and on the way down that worked. As a creative, clever investor, I like to have multiple tools in my tool belt. So I'm always constantly shifting and you got to be nimble.
Yep.
So while wholesaling works in a lot of markets, but it's hard to catch a falling knife. People don't want if it starts dropping rapidly, they're not going to want to buy a property that's going down in value. So other things work on a down market. And if we're all in agreement that over the next 3 years, let's just call it that, at some point stuff has to hit the market. At some point things have to go down. Right now, there's record demand and very low supply. And if you understand the building cycle, I'm a developer, so we have our KB2 license, and you know, we build houses and build subdivisions, build communities. It takes years to pull that off. So it's not like developers like to buy raw land at the top of the market and pay a premium and then take 2-3 years, bet that the market doesn't crash in between time. So what's on the market right now is actually started a couple years ago, and that now it's here. And yes, there's a little bit more coming, but if you look at the stats, there's not a lot more coming. So the supply and demand's going to equal out once there's a flood of more distress and things start hitting the market. So with all that said, I think the strategies that are going to really play out, because right now rehabbing is working again. Mm. It wasn't working pre-coronavirus. It was like minimal profit margins. You have to do like for me, I would do $300,000 houses or below, and I would do 20 of them at a time.
Right.
And make 35 grand a house. Like that was the business model to make the kind of money that we wanted to make. So it was low profit margins, lots of
higher volume.
Yeah, higher volume. And so then all of a sudden I wake up and now I'm hitting 100K spreads again. You know, it's like I buy a house, I buy it for, let's say, 250, I put 70 into it and I sell it for 500. You know, it's like, boom, we're back in the game. So that's working right now because inventory is really low. But as soon as that starts to shift, that will go away again. Wholesaling is currently still working, but on the horizon, I'm focusing on resharpening your tools as a creative real estate investor. And when I say that, I mean dive into what a subject to is and understand how to get creative and take over people's mortgage payments and structure the paperwork in proper ways. Now, I don't personally do subject to's. In the traditional sense, I use what's called a wraparound mortgage to complete the transaction. You'll have to look in your state if a wraparound mortgage is something that you want to use. Sometimes in some states, you might want to use like an all-inclusive contract for deed versus a wrap, like in California. But like even if they have little to no equity, you can do what's called an exact wrap. You can exactly wrap the underlying mortgage. If they have equity, you can wrap the equity portion and get creative with how they get their equity paid out to them. But you got to learn this stuff because lease options, wraparound mortgages, exact wraps, contract for deeds, all those things are coming. And if you talk to any, like I picked up, you know, 14 single family doors in the last 3.5 months. And all of those were creatively financed. Either the seller owned them free and clear and they seller participated by carrying back a note, or they allowed me to step in. They were either behind on their mortgage payments or they had a bunch of equity and we got creative on how I was going to get them their equity, but leave their mortgage in place. We wrapped it. And if they have a VA loan or something that I can't wrap, I would use a contract for deed. And so there's these other ways to get control of the real estate. And then once I had control over it, I would get the old owners out, get control of the real estate, And then I would immediately lease option them on the back end. So any money I had going out on the front side to get to give to the seller to get them out, maybe I give them $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, I would recoup with the lease option deposit. And that option price, as long as you know how to account for it properly and how to apply it towards the purchase price and everything properly, and you have the right paperwork, that's a great little model to lean in on. And if you ask anybody right now, especially like landlords, I just did a deal with a landlord that had 20 properties, and one of them he didn't want anymore. And I said, let me ask you, Mr. Landlord, do you think the market's going down in the next 3 years? And he said, absolutely, I think it's going down. I said, okay. And do you think your property makes a great rental? And he said, absolutely, it makes a great rental. And I said, do you think it makes a bank would lend on this property? Oh yeah, it's a great property. Banks would lend on it. And I said, okay, great. Do you think it makes a great collateral asset for the bank to, you know, collateralize their loan? Yes, absolutely. I said, great. So why don't you lock in your profits now by you being the bank for me? You said yes to everything. You're a smart guy. You let me do the deal with you instead of giving all the profits to the bank. I never thought of that. Let's do that. You know, so it's like coming in, that's where the market's heading. And you can easily get people to say, yes, I want to lock in my profits here at the top. And you write it down, Cody. And I'm willing to do that because I'm not coming out of pocket. I'm structuring deals where I'm paying a lot of times principal only payments. Even on my, I picked up one deal where instead of going to get a hard money loan, I said, you carry it for 6 months and then we'll amortize it over 30 and I'll balloon it in six. I was in and out in the 6 months and I rehabbed it, sold it for a $45,000 profit. It was a condo in Vegas and I was in and out in like 4.5 months and the guy, seller financed me the deal. So I didn't have to go get a hard money loan. So you could do this for your rehab deals. You could do this for your buy and holds. That's where the market's going, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love that. I think you mentioned it, right? There's a strategy for every market, for a bull market, for a bear market, for a flat market. There's always strategies that you can, if you have the right tools to pull off your tool belt, you can go to work and find, right, solutions to the problems that people have in that specific market and capture that upside, as well as help a lot of people in the process. And in terms of a falling market, when we know in times like that, money restricts. So being able to have these creative strategies that oftentimes, like you're talking about, are little to no money out of pocket type strategies. I just finished a refi on a subject two. I got one of my fourplexes through a mortgage wrap, right? These are all creative strategies that if you know, by having the right mentors like you or other individuals that have done these things before, you can start connecting dots and really find a way to not just build your vertical income that you have to show up and work for and bust your ass for, but now you're talking about building out horizontal buckets of income streams. And oftentimes, this is requiring none of your own money. And this is one of the things that I know you are an absolute expert in. You've taught thousands of people all around the country how to do this. In terms of, you know, those that want to kind of take their education to the next level, what are some of the best investments you think they can make, whether it's books, podcasts, masterminds, what you guys have going on? Where are places for them to find more information in terms of what you guys have to offer?
Yeah, so, you know, the world's changed quite a bit since I got into the business. So nowadays, I would say you got to look in the mirror and know your personality, because some people learn really well by going down the YouTube rabbit hole and just binge watching some stuff. And then they go out there and do it, you know, and some people get overwhelmed by having fragmented information getting thrown at them from different voices and different angles. You got to know your personality and your learning style. So the way I teach here at Clever Investor is very systematic, right? I got that from the military. Everything is paint by numbers connected, right? It's like this, then you do this, then you do this, then you do this, you get this result. And you, if you don't, you go here and you reshift. And I would say that's, I love podcasts. I listen to podcasts all the time. I love YouTube. I think YouTube is great for a quick answer. Like if I just need, what was that again? I need to refresh my memory. And then it's like, oh, okay. Nothing will compare to having an actual mentor in your corner, right? And just as powerful as a mentor is an adversary. right? You know, sometimes it's good to have somebody you're looking at and saying, I'm going to kick that person's ass one day. Like, I'm gunning for that guy's business or gal's business. So I think people are motivated in both ways. As far as my ecosystems, I've been so freaking blessed, man. I've gotten to serve my way into some awesome circles. And I'm going to say it like that because it really was a serve my way in. I sacrificed a tremendous amount with no expectation of getting anything back. Just how can I serve? How can I help? And over 15 years, finally getting my foot in the door of some people that I've helped out years ago or all along the journey, where now they're the rainmakers. They're the ones playing the game at a very high level. And I'm lucky enough to have a seat at the table with them. And so it has opened up doors. I started as a residential house flipper, and then I got into the education business because I love to teach. And then that, you know, then I got dominating on social media, which got me all these great relationships. And I served my way in all these awesome people's lives. And then they go, hey, you want to start a business with me? You want to go over here? So now I'm lucky. I have a couple different education brands. I have Clever Investor, which is the real estate education and software company. Then I have another company that I started with two good friends, Dan Fleischman and Joel Marion. That's called the 100 Million Academy. And that's education for entrepreneurs and people that just want to sharpen their entrepreneurial skills. So yes, there's some real estate and stuff in there, but we really focus on like making money online, building brands, doing marketing, increasing your sales skills, knowing how to start and scale businesses, knowing how to buy businesses, know how to raise money for businesses, like everything entrepreneurial that they don't teach you in high school, or you would have to go to like some hardcore business college to figure out some of this stuff. What we've done is we went out and we got people that have either made $100 million, spent $100 million, or received 100 million impressions and said, hey, you qualify to be an instructor with us. And we leveraged our relationships, and we have about 50 instructors right now that have all met that criteria that are teaching you how to be an entrepreneur. So I don't know who else you would want to learn from, some Jokemo that you randomly see on social or somebody that's proven.
Actually done it. Yeah. It's like the Netflix of entrepreneurs, I feel like, right? That you guys have gone to the real, and some of these people may not even have heard of, right? But they are real vetted teachers and doers with real resumes and real revenue that has come across their plate. And that is
this lady, Cindy Eckert. She sold her business for $1 billion. She's on there teaching you how she did it. You know, it's like super awesome behind the scenes stuff, you know, that they normally hold close to their chest. But we're building a little community, and we're, if you want to learn more about it, you can just go to go.go.100millionacademy.com. That's 100millionacademy.com. Got a free training class that's going to talk to you about the not so secret secrets of being an entrepreneur, because it really isn't complicated. It's people try to make it complicated so they can sell you crap, but it's not. And you know, at Clever Investor on all social platforms, people are always DMing me, asking me different things. I'm very hyper engaged. I love to interact with my community. I'm going to warn you now, I'm not politically correct.
I love it though. That's one reason why I love your content, man, is you put out very entertaining stuff, educational stuff, but it's also Cody Sperber. Like, you're either going to laugh, you're either going to cringe, you're going to say, right? Like, oh dude, this guy is killing me. But that's why I think people love, because they know it's that authentic Cody. I mean, we'll be sure to link up all of the handles, all of the links to Cody's stuff, 100 Million Academy, the Avengers Mastermind, Clever Investor. I want to shift.
If this comes out soon, we do have a virtual event we're doing December 4th, 5th, and 6th called the Avengers Live, which is me just calling around real estate friends. Tariq El Moussa from Flipper Flop, a guy named Bobby Castro, who's out of Florida. He big apartment guy, owns $300 million.
Yeah, we had Bobby on the show. He's full energy, talking about energy.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen somebody just go crazy.
No, dude, stack and rack, baby. Come on.
Stack and rack. So Bobby, Kent Clothier, Ryan Stuman, the hardcore closer, Cole Hatter, he's the founder of Thrive. obviously Dan Fleischman and Joel Marion. We got Carlos Reyes from All In Nation. I mean, we literally just called up like 12 of the biggest real estate guys and said, hey, you want to do this fun little virtual event? And they all said yes. And I think a couple thousand people will show up, and it's, you know, streamed right into your living room, and we're going to be able to see you. So if you show up, wear some pants. Yeah. Definitely going to see you. And we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about all this stuff in more detail, like kind of what we talked about here today.
I love it. I love it. Well, we'll be sure to link up all of that for you guys. Take advantage of this stuff, guys, because these are the guys that are doing it at the highest level. And like Cody said, you know, always one or two steps ahead. So you can kind of follow the breadcrumbs that they're laying down on the trail. And based on what, you know, path to wealth building you're looking to go down, there's somebody, because there's this massive tree trunk of real estate, right? But as you know, Cody, there's so many different branches to success, to wealth building, to passive income and financial freedom off of that tree trunk. So finding those right mentors, those right resources is so critical, especially in times like right now. Like you said, we have so many different marketing messages, so many people getting distracted. They're going a mile wide and an inch deep. So taking advantage to really figure out where do you want to niche down and really carve out your path, you're going to find those types of individuals and great networking opportunities on this training. So we'll be sure to make sure everybody has access to that. I'm curious, you know, as we wrap up, Cody, you know, I know we talk about real estate being your wealth building vehicle, but in my opinion, wealth, you know, building goes far beyond just how many zeros you have in your bank account. Living like a millionaire as a husband, living like a millionaire as a parent, and seeing how you engage with your kids, living like a millionaire in your community. I see a lot of the philanthropy you're doing. You know, what is your overall mentality around wealth building? And what are you really striving for in the big picture, and what's to come in the future for the Clever Investor?
Yeah, it's a wonderful way to end this thing. And I forgot to say, it's avengersevent.com.
Cool.
Yeah. So obviously, once you take care of your personal needs and you start paying the bills, your psychology starts to shift. You know, in the beginning, I was a typical doofus when it comes to money. I bought Lamborghinis and Rolls Royces and mansions and took 50 trips a year. And I just went crazy. You know, I had the money. I was good at making it. I figured out how to master the money game. And so I enjoyed the money. At a certain point, though, you start, just like they say, you know, you start to lose the excitement and fulfillment feeling of earning more money or buying more stuff. And so you kind of look around and you go, what are things that I can cut a check for to solve some problems? And for me, I have some things that I've always been passionate about. Number one is animal conservation and working in some capacity helping animals. And then I've always believed that going upstream and in working with kids, you know, I wanted to be a ninth grade history teacher for a reason. I wanted to be able to influence younger kids. And so I just look at the kids and I go, all right, how can I impact them? And so those are two main causes that I decided to get behind. So I have been building schools in third world countries for a long time now, for about 15 years. We built over 100 schools in Guatemala.
Oh, that's amazing.
Through a charity called Hug It Forward. And also, I donate, and I'm a part of a men's group that raises money for underprivileged kids in my local community of Chandler, Arizona. We raise about $1.3 million per year. We're the number one funder for the local YMCA and Boys and Girls Club and a bunch of different programs that give underprivileged kids resources, training, tutoring, school supplies, the ability to play sports. Just fun events, all that stuff, school clothes. And then, you know, obviously as a dad, my kids are my legacy. And so my first year or two when they were really little, I was just running and gunning on my business. I wasn't a very good husband to my wife. I was super, I was a typical entrepreneur. I was super involved in the things that I was trying to do, and I was neglecting everything else. And I'm lucky that my wife is a tough chick and that she stuck with me, because without her, there's no way I would have been able to create and achieve the level of success, because she's definitely been a major, how do you say it, in consigliere? I think that's how you say it. Like somebody who gives you great advice and then a major driver to pick me up when I got my butt kicked and I was down in the dumps. And she's also intuitively very smart. She's helped me avoid really bad relationships and partnerships. She'll meet somebody and within seconds go, nope, bad energy. Don't do it. Right? Your wife.
I'm like, no, he's good. And then six months later, okay,
that was horrible. And I was the same way. So she's been great from that perspective. And so I just shifted. At a certain point, I said, you know what? I have like maybe 11 or 12 summers with my kids before they don't care about me anymore. And I really need to pay attention to what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. And so I realized that as an entrepreneur, there's no way to create balance. Not if you're going to really be successful. Yep. It does not exist. It's a mythical beast. So if that's not going to happen, what is an alternative? Well, for me, an alternative is just whatever is right in front of me now is my main priority. And one of my personal core values is a form of keep the main thing, which is don't fill up on bread, right? I always say to myself, don't fill up on bread. Just eat the main course. Focus on the main thing. And when my wife is in front of me, my phone goes away. My businesses stop. I don't worry about problems or challenges or red alerts or emergencies. Like I literally am just making her my number one priority and the kids my number one priority. So I have a tradition. Every time I come home, I sit in my garage for about 7 minutes, 6 minutes, and I park my business and my problems and everything else that goes along with it in the garage. Mm. If my wife asks me about it, I'm pretty good at spinning the conversation right around to tell me about your day first. Tell me about the kids. What do you have going on? How's cheer with my daughter? How's my son's jujitsu? How's this? How's that? And I leave all that out in the garage, and it's made a major impact on my relationship with her. So I highly recommend maybe creating a success habit like that for you. And I get her involved in everything that I do. I don't keep her in the dark. I'm constantly like sharing everything that I have going on with her, because I find that, you know, being able to be a power couple, even though she's not actively involved in the business every single day, that she still feels like she's major part of being a part of something that's growing, and it brought us really close. So that's it, man. My kids are everything to me, and I'm trying to raise not entitled, spoiled little brats, which is my biggest challenge. So if you have advice for me, give it to me, because my kid has access to everything I never had. Mm. And I'm struggling with where's that balance between earning it and appreciating it and being able to get things that I've always wished I would have been able to have.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing a damn good job at modeling that gratitude and, you know, not only just preaching it, right, and being the messenger, but actually living your message. And that's one of the best forms of leadership, in my opinion, is you see a lot of people, you know, talk and the audio says one thing, but the video doesn't align and the actions they're taking are completely different, right? And I think over time, kids, at least in terms of their parents, they look back and go, okay, they start connecting some of those dots, right? And ultimately, I think you said something I think is really important. It's a lot of people, they say they're a family man or a family woman, but ultimately their business always comes first and they are a businessman with a family instead of a family man with a business. And so, you know, making sure that those kids see that, feel that, your wife does, those are things that I think are really admirable. And ultimately, when you see somebody do that and they know that those are their top priorities and they can still have a massive, booming, explosive business that gives and inspires a lot of other people hope, right?
Here's one more thing, Matt. Create a for-purpose business.
Yeah.
Think about that. So my company, Green Elephant Development, my development company, we called it Green Elephant Development because we use green materials on all of our rehabs, right? Okay. Good for the environment. But a portion of every single house proceed goes towards elephant conservation. And we have a couple main elephant charities that we work with. So every house gets a name. We name it after an elephant that's on either an African elephant preserve or an Eastern Asian elephant preserve. So we get a hold of the charity, find the name of the elephant, and we name our house something. And then
I love that.
When the buyer buys a property from us, we give them a book at the end of every single rehab. When they close, they come into their new home and they see this book sitting on the counter. And there's a doormat that says Green Elephant Development, welcome to your new home. And then there's this welcome package And when they open it up, there's a picture of the elephant. They see how much money we donated out of the profit from the house that they bought from us that went to support the charity. It turns them on to the charity. And now we're making money, having fun, and doing good all at the same time. So think about it, that as you're wanting to start or scale your businesses, how can we create for-purpose profits?
I love that. That's something, that is the takeaway right there, a perfect way to finish a great interview, guys, to think about giving people an opportunity to connect with something bigger than just one goal that they're achieving or that you're achieving, something bigger, right? And giving them that opportunity to have DNA in that, to participate in that mission. Something that I think, especially with the younger generations, right? This fulfillment, this purpose, this passion for helping others outside of themselves is going to be something that you want to tie into your business model. So that is, of course, doesn't surprise me with your marketing focus, right? Something that has really added a ton of value to your overall business model. Cody, man, I just want to thank you, brother, as always. Every time I'm around you, one, I appreciate the conversation. Two, I always learn a ton. And three, just have a lot of respect for the business that you've built and the change that you're making in so many other people's lives. So be sure to check out all the show notes. The links are in the show description to see what Cody's up to, 100 Million Academy. You got the Avengers Mastermind. You also have all of the stuff in Clever Investor Ecosystem that you guys should check out and take advantage of. It is world-class. With that being said, brother, I just want to appreciate you and thank you for joining us today on the Millionaire Mindcast.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview. And if you did, all I ask is that you share it with somebody else who maybe needs to hear this today or that could gain some value from something that was talked about or discussed in today's interview. You just never know, one piece of information, a conversation, a tool, a resource can completely transform and change the trajectory of someone's life or their business. So if you get any kind of value or you want to support the show, all we ask is that you help us organically get this in front of more people. Also, for those of you who are really looking to accelerate your wealth building journey and unlock more financial freedom, get more time back, and just level up your life, your business, your finances, be sure to head over to therichlifeacademy.com to check out all the amazing products and resources that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family, whether that's one-on-one coaching with me, courses from our guests, all kinds of free content, downloads, checklists, upcoming event info, and how you can connect with us live in person, all kinds of great valuable tools. You can get that over at therichlifeacademy.com. Last but not least, I always want to know, who do you guys want to hear me interview next? Let me know. Shoot me a text at 844-447-1555. With that being said, until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friend.